Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. For the last couple of weeks, first with the observance of Reformation Day and then the observance of All Saints' Day, we've been reminded of that clear and blessed scriptural truth that we are justified, saved, by faith alone, apart from works, not by our own merits, not by our own worthiness, but purely through faith and faith in Jesus Christ. That theme is continued today, and especially in our epistle lesson, as we heard that in all circumstances we are to take up the shield of faith with which we are to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. But as we get to our gospel lesson this morning, we are reminded that to be saved by faith alone does not mean that your faith is the cause of your salvation. That is to say, your faith is not in itself a work or merit by which you earn your salvation. It cannot be so. Again, as we find in our gospel lesson today, the faith of the believer is not perfect. It has many blemishes, defects, and weaknesses. And yet it is capable of extinguishing all the flaming darts of the evil one because of the one in whom we believe, because of the one in whom we put our trust, the one to whom we cling by faith and faith alone, that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Our faith, such, is often flickering and weak. Again, we find this in our gospel lesson. There was an official or a nobleman. He was an official in Herod's court. And his son was sick, indeed near the point of death. And so this man, this official, this nobleman, sought out Jesus. Now this in and of itself indicates that the man had faith. Perhaps just a small spark of faith, but he had faith. Faith to seek out Jesus when his son faced the specter of death. Where did this faith come from? John tells us, as he was inspired by the Spirit, John tells us that Jesus went back to Cana, where he had made the water into wine. You remember the occasion, we hear about this during the season of Epiphany. Jesus at a wedding found that there was no wine. He was informed of this by his mother Mary. And so our Lord Jesus, by the power of his word, transformed those six stone water jars to be the most delicious wine, the best wine, served after all the other wine had been drunk. No doubt news of this miracle had spread, word of this miracle had spread. Spread even to this nobleman, this official. He heard what Jesus had done. Moreover, John tells us that he heard that Jesus had come back to Cana in Galilee. It was through the word, through what had been told to him, through what he heard, that this official believed in Jesus. And so also our faith is kindled, it is begun through the hearing of Jesus' word. For it is through the word that our Lord Jesus comes to us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It is through the word that God works, even from the very beginning, as we heard in our Old Testament lesson today, that all things have come into existence, from light to man himself, not through some billions and billions of year process of evolution and a big bang, no, that's nonsense. In 6 days, six literal days, through the power of the Word of God and the Word of God alone. God works through His Word. He did in the beginning. He did in the heart of that nobleman, creating faith. He has done so in your hearts as well, even this very hour. In your hearing of the Word, faith is kindled, created, and strengthened in your heart. Yes, that official certainly had a measure of faith in Jesus. That's why he came to him. But we find, continuing in our gospel lesson, faith was imperfect. That's evident at the outset. Because the nobleman, he didn't go to Jesus immediately at the first sign of his son's illness. Instead, he waited until, as he confesses, his son was at the point of death. Much the same way, we are often slow to pray, hesitant to call upon our God until all other earthly options have failed. How often we take the medication, go to the doctor, or try the different therapies before even uttering a word of prayer when illness strikes. Not that we shouldn't make use of those gifts of God, those created gifts, but prayer ought to be our first destination in all times of need. It wasn't for the nobleman. In the same way, this nobleman also assumed that Jesus had to come with him and had to be physically present there in the house at the bedside in order to heal his son. He thought he knew exactly what Jesus, the Son of God, had to do in order to work. Again, in much the same way, we often consider God to be gracious only when he does exactly what we think is right for him to do, what we think is best. How often our prayers are not concluded, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done, but rather not thy will, but nevertheless my will be done, O Lord. Do it this way. Do it now. Do it here. As if we know better than God how he must act. Well, even more, this official apparently needed a sign to fully believe in Jesus. Jesus saw this in the heart of the official. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Again, much the same way, we often require proof, evidence, some kind of support, something that we can see, something we can touch, before fully committing ourselves in faith to Christ. Lord, give me a sign, we often pray. Lord, if you do this, I promise I'll believe you. Lord, if you let this happen, I vow that I will never fall away. Well, did Jesus say, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe? Well, and finally, this official seemed to think that Jesus could only offer help to his son prior to death. As if once the son had died, all hope would be lost. Again, much the same way, we're often led to think that there is a limit to God's power. That with God, most things are possible. But some things are even beyond his arm. In all these ways, our faith often reveals itself to be hesitant, weak, and faltering, much like the official's faith. Therefore, we must not place our hope of salvation in the strength and quality of our own faith. We must never think that our faith is the reason or the cause for our salvation. Very flimsy shield, one which the flaming darts of the evil one will burn up very quickly. Or at least it would be, if it were not for the one in whom we place our trust. If it were not for the one in whom we believe, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah who has conquered the devil, who has trampled Satan under his feet. He is steadfast, he is strong, he is faithful. He is our life and salvation. Jesus never fails. Faith which clings to Jesus Christ alone shall not fail. Faith alone justifies, faith alone saves. And faith trusts in Jesus, who never loses the victory. Jesus, who has won the victory, who has conquered the devil, kindles the Christian's weak faith. He works in us to make our faith stronger and better and purer. And again, he does so in the same way that he creates faith, the same way he created all things, through his very word. First place, we heard Jesus rebuked the weak faith, that faith which would consist only of signs and proof. And though Jesus spoke these words to the official, to the nobleman, his words are truly for all of us, telling us that faith must not cling to the things we see, no, but rather to that which we hear. Yes, our Lord Jesus will often strengthen our faith through words of rebuke, correction. When our faith begins to wane, our God often applies the cross to us in order to strengthen us. This is how he treated the nobleman, first in the illness of his son, to kindle and begin that strengthening of his faith, and then in that rebuke which he heard. And marvelously, that nobleman's faith was not extinguished. It's much like another account that we hear during the season of Lent, that of the Syrophoenician or the Canaanite woman. You remember her. She came to Jesus as her daughter was severely oppressed by a demon. Jesus at first seemed to dismiss her, even insult her, calling her a dog. And yet she clung to Jesus Christ. Despite that rebuke, her faith was strengthened. So also the nobleman clung to Jesus Christ despite his rebuke. Again, in the same way, our faith is strengthened as we cling to Christ in prayer. Though we ourselves must bear the discipline of the Lord, yet we remember, as the author of the book of Hebrews writes, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens every son whom he receives." Through this work of rebuke, through this chastening, our Lord wills us to have a faith that would seek him first with all boldness and confidence, a faith that would trust his will in all things, even when it seems contrary to our reason and expectations. A faith that believes what the Lord God has said, even without proof, even without seeing. Faith ready, eager to ask many and great things of him, knowing that with God all things are possible. So the nobleman continued in faith. "Sir, come down before my child dies." Still evidenced a bit of weakness there, thinking that Jesus had to come with him. But he held fast to Jesus. Jesus, despite that lingering weakness, did not despise the nobleman nor his faith. He bore with him. He loved him. Spoke that very word he needed to hear. "Go, your son will live." Jesus spoke his life-giving, his creative word to kindle and strengthen and deepen that faith. And it's that same creative, life-giving word that our Lord Jesus speaks to you, so that your weak faith may be strengthened, your flickering faith may burn brightly. It did in the nobleman. He believed the word of Jesus. Faith was created and strengthened in his heart, and in faith he went forth, he went home. Contrary to what he could see, contrary to what he could feel, he went on his way. In faith, he trusted that Christ had heard his prayer in that very hour and would answer without fail, even though, as we hear, he wouldn't receive confirmation of that answer to his prayer for a good day or so. But in faith, this man trusted that God would be gracious in all things, yes, even in his suffering. And he trusted that God would be gracious even without visible evidence, without seeing some kind of display of power. He trusted that God would accomplish all things according to his perfect will, that indeed nothing was impossible for him. Again, in the same way, we must take what we hear from our Lord Jesus in his holy word. We must take those promises which he speaks to us today in the scriptures, apply them to ourselves in faith and believe that what he says will be done, that very hour he declares it, must trust that all things are fulfilled in him. And it was so for the nobleman. The very hour Jesus spoke, his son was healed. But Jesus granted more healing than just the son from illness. Healed, built up, and strengthened that nobleman himself, spiritually, giving him a vibrant, living faith. And in much the same way, we ourselves, we believe that very hour we are delivered from death to life. Brings us peace and joy and gladness. One last note from this gospel account. John tells us that the nobleman, when he heard this news, believed, and not just he, but all his household. How was it that the household came to believe also? Same way the nobleman did. Through hearing. No doubt that nobleman, that official, went to his wife, his servants, his family, his other children, and that son who was now alive said, Jesus Christ did this. Jesus spoke and it was so. So also we who have been saved by faith and faith alone are bold and confident to go and tell others all that God has done for us. To confess before the world, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He has delivered me from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He loves you too. This word that kindles and strengthens faith, so that salvation may be by faith and faith alone. Again, not that the faith itself is what saves you, but the one in whom you believe, he saves you. True, our Christian faith is often flickering and weak. But as the book of Proverbs puts it, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. It was true for the nobleman, true for you also. Again, not because of the inherent value or quality of your faith, but because of the one to whom your faith clings, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. His word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And in him that path shines brighter and brighter until we behold the full day, face to face in glory. But until that day, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you are able to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.